memory serves me well, the last time we were on page 28. Chapter 2. Yeah, page 11. Yeah. So we were dealing with clause 4 on page 11. And we're just subjecting sub 1 to sub 2, just to make it clear. And those references to section 3 to section 23.1 and so on are all things where there are specific requirements on the minister making regulation, for instance, which obviously couldn't, or an urgent expropriation, matters that couldn't be delegated or shouldn't be delegated. So those are those references. Can we move along? Okay. Members, nothing. Can we move? Thank you, Jen. So under chapter 3, there's a very tiny addition of one word, an adjective, on page 15. Page 15. And that's where a municipal manager if there's a failure to respond within to a request within the period contemplated, should be deemed that the purpose for which the property is being acquired would have no adverse effect. Saying it would have no effect doesn't make sense, because any expropriation, however small, would have some kind of effect. The point being to ensure that the expropriation doesn't have adverse effect. Expropriation doesn't have adverse effect. And if there's a failure on the part of the municipal manager to, within the time limits, to inform, then it's the assumption is that it's not going to undermine the IDP or whatever. Also not very much on chapter 4, unless I'm mistaken. Page 17. So remember, chapter 4 is dealing with the intention to expropriate. It's not yet necessarily going to happen. And therefore we thought it was advisable. I think the committee thought it was advisable. And on page 17 there, sub 4A, the amount claimed by him or her, so the party that may be expropriated at this point, that isn't definitely going to happen because it's still just exploring, basically. The claim by him or her as just an equitable compensation should he or she be expropriated. Okay. Minor rational addition. Thank you. The things that the committee, although as far as we are aware, the committee in the past hasn't raised specific issues. So we're jumping all the way now to chapter 5, which is the compensation chapter, and we're on page 28. Okay. And really what we're doing here is anticipating what will come up in section 21. In other words, and particularly because we're wanting to go the alternative disputes mechanism route. So that's what we've reworded, basically. I mean, that's the essential reason for rewording, if I'm not mistaken, subsection 3. Okay. So If the claimant decides not to accept the amount offered by the expropriating authority in terms of subsection 2 above, the claimant must, within 20 days, working days, of the delivery of the statement contemplated in that section, inform the expropriating authority of the decision, in which case the provisions of section 21 applies. And 21, when we get to it, is introduces the idea of mediation.
Honourable Sultani, followed by Honourable Sitole.
That's just a small, relatively insignificant point here. Provisions of Section 21 apply rather than applies.
Thank you. Honourable Sitole.
Thank you, Chair. I was just checking on this 20 days because there's some unforeseen circumstances. If it can be 30 days, is a term. Because sometimes you can say things that have been delivered in such a date, but if things are not happening, what is going to happen? Because 30 days is enough.
Thanks, Honorable Sitole. Ministry Department.
So that the 20 days would be 20 working days, so it's basically a month. Okay? And thank you for the apply. First to apply.
I want to refer to clause 8.3, D and E specifically. I know we've actually passed that. Can I raise it now?
Yeah, please.
I'm just referring to the summary of comments that we received, as well as the responses by the departments about some of the proposals made during these comments. And on notice of expropriation clause 83 D and E, there were serious concerns from specifically Weber Wenzel. And the department's response was, and I'll read it, the department is seeking legal advice from the state's law advisor and legal counsel regarding the rephrasing of this clause, because it was an extensive proposal to remedy the problems as seen by Weber Wenzel. Now, I don't see any changes in the revised draft bill or the bill that the department has handed out this morning. So I just want to know what happened to those comments that they were seeking legal advice.
Thank you to the Honourable Chair. The Honourable Chair is absolutely right, and sorry for not raising it up front. It is a matter that we are still taking on advice, so we undertake working with the State Law Advisor to come back. Essentially, what the matter relates to is the danger of property being in limbo between expropriation the act of expropriation and the actual taking of possession by the state entity. So we need to, it's a complicated but important area, and so we do undertake working with the assistance of the state law advisor to come with a specific proposal. So thanks for raising that.
Thank you, Deputy Minister and Honourable Sultan.
Thank you, sir. Let me let on to the feeling expressed by Honourable Chair must be that there is quite a few issues where the department said that they needed time to go and apply their minds, consult and what have you. And just for the record, just that those matters are not left out completely, we would like to get confirmation that indeed there will be a time when the department will definitely come back on all the issues where they said that they would, you know. Thanks.
Honourable Deputy Minister.
The answer is yes. We'll certainly endeavour to do so. It might not result in any, and certainly towards the end of the bill, there's another area which the Honourable Fofana is well aware of. It's around the criminal issue, which we haven't, unfortunately, we undertook to try to produce drafts. We haven't yet. We're well aware that we haven't, and we were going to raise that when we got there.
I was just
reminding my team to remind me of areas that we are aware of, the kind of issue that, because at the moment what I'm doing is I'm just looking at the new document and looking for blue and red. I like the red, less so about the blue. Yeah. I'm glad you like the blue because the blue is the new amendments which we are supporting. But so we deliberately put them in to confuse it. Yeah, indeed. My advisors are telling me that we can, as far as we're aware, we can jump to Chapter 6 now. And we hope that we're not leaving out things that we undertook to do and are not reflecting. So it's on page 33 of the document. Okay. So, first of all, we're adding in terms of the title, obviously, mediation. Okay. And then the other things. Then, already when we looked at chapter headings, there was a suggestion from, I forget, from one of the parties, that we shouldn't have a single mediation and determination by court. I mean, that would be a question of how we structure it, and we could look at that. But for the moment, it's a single heading, mediation and determination by court. The things flow, the one from the other. But whether we separate them into numerically is not a major issue as far as we're concerned, I don't think. Okay, so then let's go slowly through the new 21, 1, 2, 3, and so on. So if the expropriating authority and claimant cannot agree on just and equitable compensation, they may agree to attempt to settle the dispute by mediation within a further period of 20 days. Okay. Just on that, because I think we should flag it, what we've said is we just need to look at the drafting, because what does the 20 days refer to? Does it refer to how long we give them to agree to mediation, or is it the 20 days in which the clock is ticking on the mediation process itself? We're inclined, it's a bit ambivalent as it reads here, so we're aware of that, and we think maybe, but again, for discussion by the committee obviously, we think that maybe time limits in ordinary time limits on the mediation process might be unwise in a case like this, but maybe we don't want to go on too long. It's more to trigger an agreement on mediation that we're trying to reach. So let's dwell on that at the moment and get advice from the committee.
Okay, let me start with Honorable Walters, followed by Honorable Mayor Maciela, and then Honorable Sultani. Certainly, I don't think it's in anyone's interest to unduly delay a process. I think whether it's a property owner, whether it's the state, whether it's the intended beneficiaries of a process, I think it's a good, solid process that is well determined, I think is good. My question is this. Have you spent enough thought on finding out where the mediator is going to be coming from? It's one thing to say mediation and insert this, and I think it's a very, very welcome insertion. Where does the mediator come from? How is the mediator determined? And isn't it necessary to look at that in the legislation?
Thank you, sir.
Mayor Maciel, Honorable.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I was going to say I don't have anything wrong with it. I think it is fine. And the 20 days, because you are saying within 20 days they must agree on, or they should agree on the mediation, is giving them enough time to make an agreement or to consult one another and make an agreement on the mediation process. Therefore, I think it is fine. I don't have any problem with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Honourable Member Sultani.
Thank you, sir. Seeing that there is no definition of day in the, is it there? I didn't say it. Do we have a common understanding that by day we mean the normal working days, which in this case would translate to practically a month? I just want to be sure.
Is there anybody I left out? Seems those are the hands that I Honorable Walters.
Chair, wouldn't it also be useful to have a type of a process flow of this process just to help to settle exactly when is what happening? You know, I think there is the Deputy Minister did point out. I think I nearly want to say one should have a picture of here's the disagreement, so many days to identify a mediator, and as I said, I think one must, one can leave it up to them identifying a mediator themselves, but where's this going to be coming from, and then once the mediation process starts, what's the time period for that to be, call it resolved? I'm not entirely clear myself, but I do support the trust of this and where it's going.
Well, my take says that that detail will be reflected in the regulations. That's how I feel, and that's where I would recommend that detail goes into. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Deputy Minister, Department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, we agree with the Honourable Sultani that maybe some of this is best left to regulation. Where the mediator comes from, etc., one would depend on the nature of the property. So, you know, if it's land, you might want a particular kind of mediator. If it's some other kind of property, it might be a different mediator. So, we're not not too keen to get too specific, particularly in the law of general application, but maybe regulation could be one, particularly in terms of the flow process. But we are quite keen on trying to ensure that there's not too much delay in the processes. So we're quite keen to hold on to, and it's true we haven't defined, and again my legal advisors will tell me whether day is normally understood to be working day in law, or whether we need to find day. But those are niggly things that I think we do need to be clear about. But essentially what we have in mind is a month, and I think what we're reaching for is a month is allowed to decide to proceed to mediation. But we're reluctant to then say the mediation process itself must take 20 days. And that's not clear enough in the drafting that we've got, so we'll improve on that. Because it might be a very complicated case, or it might be a very simple one. So it's more to trigger the process, not to allow too much delay. And I think the Honourable Walters has quickly said that it's in the interest of both parties, basically, to ensure that doesn't take too long, and indeed the actual mediation as well also doesn't prolong for too long, but it's in particular the triggering that we want to make sure has a bit of a timeline. Because bear in mind that unless we trigger mediation, then we need to proceed to court. So you need to indicate some clarity, to provide some clarity as to what point there's a decision to trigger from the two parties.
Let's start with Honourable Adams, followed by Honourable Dlamini, and then Honourable Walters. Thank you.
So now I just want clarity on the days, because on page 9 I read it that subsection 2 A and B, and it's specifically both of them says of any period calculated in terms of this act. So I think that the days, what he stands here, covers the whole act. If my understanding is correct.
Thank you, sir. Honourable Dlamini.
Look, for me, just for clarity, this mediation that we're talking about only talks on the issue of payment. That's all. It's not me to deal with the issue of whether the expropriation is happening or not. It's just an issue of agreement payment. Is that what this covers for the mediation? Just one clarity on that one. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Honourable Walters was next.
Chair, that certainly helped that response by the Deputy Minister. If I can just also relate this then, if the mediator is going to be determined by the type of property that's considered for expropriation, then I think the definition of property, as was raised earlier, also becomes then important. Again, I think one must just link this particular section to the previous concerns that were raised around definition of property. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Dreyer.
Mr. Chairman, I refer to section 21EE, the ones in blue, the department's proposal to change, that's an old addition, the expropriating authority and claimant share the mediator's costs equally. I'd like to hear the motivation for that, because in previous sections, the argument was generally accepted that the cost on the claimant is usually too high and you can't burden the claimant by also carrying the costs for court cases and so on. And this, the Deputy Minister indicated that, yeah, he agreed with that point and that the state should carry the cost. Why is this seems to be an inconsistency and why so?
May I revert to the department, the ministry?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So we want to appoint the Honourable Adams Minister as our new law advisor, because he's correctly referred us to below the definitions where we define what day for the purposes of the Act. So thank you for... Okay. So I think you need to claim the liberal hours rather than empty salary. Thank you very much for that. But you're absolutely right. Yes, Honourable Walters, we agree that the definition of property and who the mediator should be are relevant to each other. That's why we're saying this is a general law application, but in particular cases of expropriation, how property is defined for the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, whatever, becomes relevant to the kind of mediator that would be required. So we don't want to over-define. We're having the same discussion at different points in there. But that's our rationale. So we don't disagree with the points you're making, but we don't want to change our definition of property in this general law of application. But we hear you. You have a different view. But that's the thing. And then, Honourable Gray, I hadn't quite... I started to read sub A, B, and so on, and hadn't got to E, but you're absolutely right, or partly absolutely right. That's wrong, isn't it? Part relatively right. Okay. We've taken this with the help of the state law advisor. This, I think, comes from a reserve mediation in the case of Reserve Bank, where it's rich people and a very rich bank and sharing costs. But it's inappropriate in this case. So we want to remove E entirely, but our intention is not necessarily for the state to bear the cost necessarily. We think that there should be something that would be part of a decision on the mediation process itself, if I'm not mistaken. In other words, we're proposing just to remove who carries the cost. And because, it, you know, you exactly. You don't want to commit the state necessarily to carry the cost if it's Mark Shuttleworth that you're dealing with. Unfortunately, we failed to deal with him, but if we had. And typically they wouldn't be up in him. So we don't want to commit to doing that, but at the same time, equal share could be extremely unfair as well, including in the Shuttleworth case. You should pay the whole damn thing, but anyhow, that's another matter. Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
As agreed, I think.
Second, Deputy Minister, Honourable Sultan, and Honourable Mayor Masiela.
Thank you, sir. I don't know what happened to my day's definition.
Honourable Adams, I think, helpfully referred you, the Senior Counsel Adams. On page 9 of our documents, after we've done all the definitions, there's a 2A and a 2B. Okay? Yes, on our document. Not the UDM document, our document. And a 2B. A Saturday, Sunday, or public holiday must not be written as part. Okay. But I'd also missed it, so you were not alone. And then we also get Christmas holidays here. Okay, thanks. That's good.
Members here?
Thank you very much. In my thinking, I think E is okay because it shows commitment on both parties. Because otherwise, this expropriation process, it might be delayed unnecessarily because one knows that they are not going to be paying anything towards the whole process. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Deputy Minister.
You see, I think what we're trying to accommodate is basically poor community gets expropriated, has a problem with the compensation, doesn't have the ability to or battle to go to court and so forth. And you don't want to sit, but generally the cost of mediation is not a major hole in a state entity's budget, okay? So there might be cases where it would be advisable in the interest of justice for the state to bear the burden, all of it or a significant part of it, of mediation. What we want is a just and equitable process, right along the line, okay? There'll be other cases where there's absolutely no reason why there shouldn't be a sharing of costs or whatever. Okay. This one is a bit like two directives must be shared equally, which might be problematic for poor communities. And we want people to go, we don't want to go to court. We want these matters, you know, because that delays things and compensation, uncertainty and stuff. So the more that mediation is used, the better. So we don't want to create hurdles on mediation. Okay.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable Adams, Minister, you seem very puzzled. You are mulling over some conundrum. If it pertains to the business of the day, you may share it. If it's personal, leave it with yourself.
No, thank you, sir. No, it's just the mediation, the cost sharing. Because normally it's the high net worth individuals or the high owners per se that goes for mediation. Mediation normally doesn't happen with our poor areas. It's normally those high bankers that goes for mediation. So I'm just mulling about the sharing of the cost. Shouldn't we put the provider in for argument's sake, for the poor and for the rich? It's just a thought that I'm leaving with the department. Because, I mean, it's always a thing that is the high net worth individuals goes for this mediation.
Thank you for sharing your mulling with us. Honourable Lamin.
Mr. Chair, we must just go back to my earlier question and try to clarify why I asked. Because if you look at the heading, mediation, determination by courts, agent expropriation, and withdrawal of expropriation. And then, but when you look at all the sub-items, it just talks to the issues of payment. That's what it deals with. Because my understanding initially of the heading is that when you're talking about expropriation, first thing first is that the issue of payment becomes a sub-item. First thing first that will happen between the expropriating authority and whoever that is getting expropriated is to first to deal with that issue. To say we are taking the said property, do we agree or not? Because before we get to whether you pay me or not, it becomes a sub-item. But the key issue is here is that I don't agree that the government must take whatever property that they need for whatever reason. So we must start there with mediation and taking each other to court and deal with those issues before we can even get to the issue whether do you pay me or not. So that was my question in terms of saying we're talking of agent expropriation and withdrawal of expropriation. But when you read this explanation, you just talk whether we argue with the issue of whether I get paid or I don't get paid. So that's why I wanted to get clarity in terms of this chapter 6, that what is it exactly that it is to deal with? Because on my understanding, those two items are they differ in terms of how this bill is going to be executed. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Deputy Minister, sir. We've decided to withdraw the offer to employ Honourable Adam. I'm advised that high net worth individuals have got excellent lawyers and are very sure of their cases when they go to court, if they choose to go to court, or very sure that the compensation being offered is adequate and so on. So they tend not to go to mediation. That's the advice I'm getting from the real lawyers, okay, on this side. Can we move along? Okay, which is to sub 3 and sub 4. Okay, because sub 3 and sub 4 is where now we start to move away from the mediation process towards the courts, okay? Now, just an answer to the Honourable Dlamini. Basically, chapter 6 is expropriation that happens. Okay, it's gone ahead. So your issue, I think the point you're making is absolutely right. But, and the course expropriation, and I'm subject to correction, the course expropriation has gone ahead, at least 80% of the final offer made by the state has been made. That compensation has been paid, okay. But there is still a disagreement. There might be, might not be, but there's still a disagreement between the parties on the compensation. Okay. At which point we would like to trigger the possibility, on the advice of the committee, and we think it's a good suggestion, the possibility of mediation rather than the cost of court and the delays and things like that. Possibility, introduce the possibility of mediation on compensation. Okay. Then 3 here says, if the expropriating authority and claimant are unable to settle the dispute by consensus in the manner contemplated in subsection 2, in other words, they can't settle it through mediation, or if the claimant did not agree to mediation, because it would have to be a mutual agreement to go to mediation, the expropriating authority must refer the matter to a competent court to decide or prove just and equitable compensation. Okay. So that's the proactive thing that we talked about in our previous sessions. The state must proactively do it. Okay, I just want to hold on to that thought in a moment because we've realized that it's a bit more complicated than we at first realized. And then sub 4 just makes the point that other matters, like the administrative justice, have you followed the procedures properly, etc., all of what we're talking about in terms of mediation on compensation, or eventually going to a court because there's no agreement or no effective mediation, we're just clarifying the point that the Institute of Race Relations made, is that of course we can't prevent anybody from going to court in terms of other things, in terms of misappropriation, to say that this is, it's been administratively unjust the way in which the process has happened, etc. So that's just clarifying that. So sub 4 is just making the point, okay? But the critical sequential thing is sub 3. That if there's no agreement in the mediation, or if there was no agreement to go to mediation, then proactively we're saying, on compensation, proactively we're saying the state must refer the matter to a competent court. Now the advice we're getting, so let me just make the point at this point. The advice we're getting is that's a bit curious. So we're in favour of going in this direction because, again, it might be a poor community that battles to get to court and so on. But what is it that the expropriating authority is bringing to a high court, let's say? What actually is it bringing? What case is it bringing? Because as far as the expropriating authority is concerned, everything it's done has been just and equitable, and the compensation is reasonable. Compensation in particular is what we're talking about. What case is the expropriating authority bringing to the court? So we're still in favor of some kind of proactive move, and what we're asking for, and we will bring it next week in the text, is some kind of draft in which there's a proactive finding of a court, the tabling of documentation and so on from the side of the expropriating authority to enable, should an expropriated individual entity wish to go to court, there will be a court available, the court will have papers in front of it and so on. So that's my amateurish understanding of the kind of thing that we're wanting to do. Otherwise it's a bit curious, we are advised. What we're correctly trying to do for good reason in this wording would just need to be refined. So I don't know if that's clear, but hopefully when we get better wording, we're responding to what the committee has said. Let in the case of a compensation problem, let's not just leave it to some poor individual to have to activate a court. Let's get a process moving. But quite how we word it, we're advised, is we just need to refine what we've got here. So we're trying to achieve the same purpose, but make it legally sensible.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honourable Tlamini, followed by Mayor Masiela, and followed by Walters. Honourable, followed by Sultani. Akbar.
Thank you, Chair. Deputy Minister, I don't know if I'm getting lost in terms of your explanation. You are saying this Chapter 6 deals when expropriation has happened, so it just deals with the issue of payment. Now, is there a way in the bill where it talks about mediation and court issues before expropriation happens? Because this will even resolve the issue of honorable Dreyer of the fears that you are talking about, that it will work for certain governments or not work for other governments. Because our issue here is that on the definition it says compulsory acquisition of the property by the expropriating authority. But when that process happens, because we have seen, and it happens everywhere, we have seen some of chance takers and crooks taking land of the people through using municipality because they've got control of the municipality. That where in the bill that talks of mediation and the court issues, before we get to the, that's what I'm saying, my understanding is that the payment issue, it's a sub-item. The first one is that, do I even agree with the municipality, whoever that wants to come and expropriate my property at the time, and what is the recourse on the site? Do we have court or mediation? And if this Chapter 6 only talks to when the payment has happened, as we explained, with 80% and all those, do we have here on the bill that talks to the issues where we have not even gone to that stage? Because I don't want us to automatically assume that when expropriation is to happen, then I don't have recourse. I'll only be able to raise my voice when there's an issue of payment. But to even say this expropriation, is it correct or not? Because we know then we'll be opening this field to a lot of abuse with other authorities. So that is my, I want to get clarity on this, that do we have a chapter then that doesn't deal, because this one it only talks to the issue of payment. That just deals with if I've got issues relating to this expropriation that needs to happen, whether it's correct or not, before we can even get to a situation whether am I going to be compensated or not, because the issue, it might not be the issue of just whether am I going to be compensated or not, whether it's the right thing to do in the first place, even if it's government. We've seen people abusing the system. So that's what I want to encourage on.
Honourable Member, thank you very much. Honourable Mayor Masiel.
Honourable Chair, I was going to try and look into Chapter 6 as a whole to say, to me, it seems it has been divided into three aspects.
where in the first stage that we're dealing with now, it only talks about mediation determination by court. And then when you move to page 34 and 85, it talks about agent expropriation, and then in 36 and 37 it talks about withdrawal of the expropriation. So to me, I thought this chapter, it deals about all those three issues that have been demarcated like this, and not necessarily only one thing, as chapter 6. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The next was Honorable Walters.
The remark that the Deputy Minister made about both parties having to agree to mediation, I think as a general principle that's how mediation works. But also, again, what happens in a situation, and I think one must try to accommodate it, where, again, you sit with a poor community, needs to be expropriated, you have, call it an overly vigorous state that reduces this mediation process by simply saying we don't agree to mediation, nullify it as the intent of this. And I would suggest that we consider including a clause there that mediation cannot be unreasonably, a request for mediation cannot be unreasonably withheld either. It's something, wording along those lines. Thanks.
Thank you. Next was Honorable Fultani, followed by Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, sir. My issue with is with clause 2E that is relates to costs. And I imagine a situation where a given individual would fall under the kind of people that we call, or refer to as being indigent. They have got a full right to their piece of land or something. And now all of a sudden, the law says they must share the cost with the whole state. And I want to put a case and suggest that in such cases, the indigent policy should apply. In other words, legal costs should be provided, or rather legal services for them should be sought, maybe through legal aid or whatever, you know, rather than for them to have to carry the cost. And also, where wholesale, generally poor communities are being expropriated, you might want to remove a whole village for whatever good reason or public purpose, let me say. And we know that it's not easy for communities to collect money amongst themselves and go and employ the services of an attorney. Even in such cases, depending on the socioeconomic status of the such communities, they could qualify for state-aided legal services. That's what I would suggest. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Honorable Sithole.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my understanding is that Chapter 6, it talks to Chapter 4 of this act. But my concern, Chairperson, is 2C, the mediator and the expropriation authority in agreement to discuss dispute at a meeting attended by them all. Because if you are saying the attendant by them all, what will happen if some are not going to that meeting? The delays. I think there is going to be too much delays in this process. I don't know. But I'm just thinking about it, because if you check these chapters, if you read them together, chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 6, the chapter 6 is under in chapter 1, is happening in chapter 4.
Thank you, Honorable Sithole. Deputy Minister.
Okay, a lot of useful issues have come up, so thanks to colleagues. The Honourable Flamini, our best reference would be to page 10, okay, right at the top of page 10, which talks about, which is under the subheading of application of the Act. So what we're trying to say there is that subject to section 22, let's remind ourselves what 22 is. What is 22? Apart from an urgent expropriation, time of war, natural disaster, whatever, subject to section 22, a power to expropriate property may not be exercised unless the expropriating authority has, without success, attempted to reach an agreement with the owner or the holder of an unregistered right in property for the acquisition thereof on reasonable terms. Okay. So that could include, we're reluctant, to be honest, we're not unsympathetic to the points that you're making, because these things do happen in practice. We're not unsympathetic to, for instance, a reasonable attempt might be through mediation, for instance, but we're a bit reluctant to write into the whole loop of the long process that we're talking about, a necessary step of mediation. But what an expropriating authority must be able to show is that they have undertaken a serious attempt to reach an agreement with the owner or holder of an unregistered property and right. Okay, failing to be able to demonstrate that, and it might not then result in expropriation. It might be a willing seller, willing buyer approach to poor community. We need this property to build a school or whatever. We're offering you X, Y, and Z. Unless that kind of process has happened already, all the other steps that we're describing in this general law application are liable to the accusation that there was no reasonable attempt to consult with, etc., an agreement. The next steps about notice of intention to expropriate also require engagement with the community, opportunity for the community or the entity that will be expropriated, opportunities for them to say that you're saying it's for this purpose but it doesn't make sense, etc., etc. The expropriating authority will have to show all of those and will be found, you know, to have acted unconstitutionally and illegally once this is enacted, if there's a failure, an inability to show that. Okay. So the point is right that you're raising, and hopefully in this general law of application we're seeking to cover that ground. I agree actually with the point about the chapter 6. It's a bit of a hold all chapter 6, and maybe what we could look at, without changing anything else apart from the things that we want to change, is that we have a chapter headed chapter 6, mediation and determination by court, a separate chapter which is dealing with urgent expropriation, and then perhaps a separate chapter on withdrawal of an expropriation. Because this is a bit of a catch-all, and I think numbers of colleagues have already raised correctly. So thanks for that, for raising it. I think you're right. And it doesn't alter anything adding chapter headings, unless I'm very much mistaken. So State Law Advisor and Parliamentary Lord, I hope that amateur suggestion is not problematic. It's just ordering this in clearly and labelling it better. Okay? But we can hear. Then the Honourable Walters, we think that generally, but we can't rely on general, that generally the state doesn't want to move to a court process on compensation and would prefer mediation, okay? Because it's the shorter way of resolving the problem as well, in any case, in principle, if it works. But the point is taken, and perhaps we can look at something along the drafting that you suggested. Cannot be unreasonably withheld on the part of the expropriating authority. Obviously, you can't say that to an expropriated entity. They might want to go to court, and they can decline. that you wouldn't want an expropriated entity to be told we're not interested in mediation via a state thing. So I'm sure that we can seriously consider that. Okay, there might be reasons, but let's park that. But to reassure that we'll take it seriously and look seriously at how to word the point that you're making. Honourable Sultani, we thought that what we were saying is we want to scrap 2E. Just scrap it. Leave the cost issue to part of what gets settled in terms of the mediation, because the circumstances will vary considerably in a mediation, including the circumstance in which the party is indigent or pretty much indigent, and then the state should pay. But rather than try to stipulate, let's just knock out the compensation issue. Honourable Sotoling, I've just temporarily, we were going to try and hire you as our legal advisor, because you say chapter 6 talks to chapter 4. Just remind me of the point that was raised. Your point, Honourable Sotoling. Proceed, sir.
Thank you, Chair. My point was on 21.2.2.2.C.
Ah, yes.
Is the mediator and the...
Ah, yes, yes, I've got it. Thank you very much. It's a bit clumsy, that phrase, isn't it? By them all. Again, I'm not a drafter, so I shouldn't try, but it's by both parties, basically. You can't have a mediation in which one of the parties is not present. But if it's a community, the community must be represented at the mediation, not every single necessarily, and if they all want to be there, and it's helpful to the process. So by them all is a little bit clumsy, so thank you for that. We could create problems. But the point being that the two parties must be represented in the mediation, obviously. How they represent it is not something we want to write into.
Thanks, Deputy Minister. Honourable Jamin.
Chief, I promise this is the last question on this.
Don't say so. You might need to come back.
Oh, yeah.
They are closing the door.
Deputy Minister, I think just on the spirit of how we're dealing with this bill, in terms of all of us are sitting here and we know where this bill needs to go to and who are the people that they're going to be having to deal with this bill. I think we started in a good spirit of saying let's try to simplify it, keep it simple so that there is no misunderstanding. I hear the other members. That's why when I ask questions, I just ask direct question with, at least with direct reference, because I don't want to sit with a bill where if there's something I don't understand, and then I'm sitting with a situation where other fellow honorable members, they say, I think it refers to section this, I think it refers to section this, and I think like yourself you said, I must go to page 10. My proposal would be on this issue of mediation. Can we just do the same as well? Let it be mediation, because from your explanation, you say the expropriating authority must have proven that they followed all the processes. But the issue is that if I'm disputing that they followed, who are they proving to? Then there must be either a court or a mediator. So can we, instead of bringing this mediation just only to the money issues, and just put it there as just mediation on the whole bill if there is unhappiness on the other side. To say, rather than to look, because now we've just confined this to the issue of payments. If we're saying it's an issue of saying that I'm not happy with the process, that even the expropriating authority is saying, no, I followed all the processes, I must have the right to take it to court or to the mediating authority or whoever, the mediator at the time. So that at least I know that once I've lost my case through court or mediation that happens, then I know that the other processes as they go, then it's fine because I've lost the case because
with the way things are now, with your explanation, is that from the expropriating authority, once they say to me, no, this is the proof, it doesn't matter whether I say this is correct or not, this is the proof that we followed all the processes, then what happens? Then I must just be taken to the second step of the issue of payment. That if we can bring that, rather than just to confine it to the money issue, as it's the only thing that is important in mediation. Let's, if we can take that, that is my proposal, that let's just make this as a mediation or the court issue if there's unhappiness on both parties. Then we can be able to move forward rather than just to subject it to the only the payment issue. It's my proposal. Thank you.
Thanks, Honourable Member. Honourable Walters.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also think that one must maybe look at the rephrasing that it includes the type of eventuality that is described by Honourable Member Dlamini. I think mediation will be needed around compensation, probably envisaging this act going forward. But I can imagine just from past experiences of processes not being followed properly. You know, in fact, I think any public representative in South Africa, whether you're local government, provincial level, or national level, would have seen situations like that as well, where process isn't followed properly. I can imagine that is a feature of mediation. So I think I'm not sure whether one has to come up with another section of mediation separately from what we have at the moment. Might be advisable given the fact that we're already looking at restructuring the chapter in itself. But I would suggest that we look at and consider what was being suggested there. I think it can practically make sense going forward. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Chair, you must have agreed with me. It's fine. There's no problem.
Honourable Walters, Honourable Dlamini said you should just articulate clearly that you agree with him. There's no problem with that.
Chair, it's my subtle way of converting him to the liberal democratic cause. It's,
Thanks, members.
This one, we'll let us come back. We're hearing what you're saying. We'll come back. We'll come back to you. We're not promising to change anything because we think that we're not preventing recourse of there's nothing in this law of general application that would prevent, in the case of an intention to expropriate, and an expropriated an entity targeted for expropriation. There's nothing preventing the two parties from saying let's take it to mediation. So we're not blocking that access, but we at the moment are rather cautious of introducing that as a kind of net. On compensation, we're saying let's make it a necessary possibility. If you understand. In the case of the quite complex processes of engagement between expropriating authorities and entities to be expropriated, there's lots of to-ing and fro-ing and so on, and if at any point presumably it's found useful for mediation to be sought, there's nothing in what we're saying. But that's a provisional response from my side. We'll obviously take seriously the point because we understand the good faith in which the issue is made from both the liberal democratic and the serious description for the other inclination. We take the proposals in good faith and we'll see whether or if, from our perspective, it would be useful to have another section. But perhaps also just to make the point clearer, and again this is very provisional, what we're suggesting is a new chapter 6, and we're not changing anything but just reordering, just kind of giving more chapters. Maybe we make clear that what we're referring to here is mediation determination by courts in regard to compensation. so it's clear that that's what we're doing. But again, if that's unnecessary, but the more one, I think, because the more user friendly and the intention, the point that the Honourable Dlamini is correctly making frequently, the more its issues are flagged clearly and it's made more user friendly, the better for all concerned. So maybe that could be an additional thing, that at this point what we're talking about is the compensation issue. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Shall we move?
Point of view, basically, I think that's it. Apart from, obviously, we've knocked out all of what we've knocked out there in that lovely colour red at the bottom of 33 and 34, but I think that's what we've long agreed to. And it's, so what's in blue now is a substantial replacement of that, essentially. And that's from our side. Oh, ha-ha. The Honourable Fulcani was looking at me. As I said, we apologise. We had hoped to have addressed the matter of 27 offences. Okay, there's others he's got up his sleeve, but the one that we're aware of is clause 27. And there the concern is that while fraud is fraud and therefore should carry criminal consequences, we just need to be careful that some of what we're describing here are not someone failed to meet an administrative deadline for which there should be consequences, but whether there should be criminal consequences would be problematic. It's the point that Honourable Sultani in particular has correctly raised. But obviously it's an area that we need to be careful that we don't remove all the teeth from. We don't want all of the things that we're so in such detail going through in terms of timelines, deadlines, and so on. We don't want to say, well, these are optional and there's no consequences for not complying with them, particularly from the side of the state. So it's in writing, in legislation, to get that right. But we agree that there's a problem here and we do need to refine it. So we've undertaken to deal with that. So that's the one that we knew was up his sleeve. We're not sure what other up the sleeve he has. Cheers.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Good folks, it seems this is how far down this road we can traverse today. We have done our best. We have been able to go through the documents. The various inputs by members have been noted. So we'll reconvene on Tuesday. We are getting closer to the final post. I would like to thank you all very much. Thank you. See you on Tuesday.
Just ask whether there's some, because it would also help us, and I'm sure the state law advisor and parliamentary law advisor, whether there would be a possibility of a Wednesday meeting next week. I mean, you can't convince our things without confirming, but whether there would be a possibility, not a possibility. Okay. For members.
Well, what are you saying, members? I see Honourable Sultani says almost fell off the way we're shaking it. And Honourable Walters.
Chair, I suspect myself and Member Sultani has the same problem of a different portfolio committee then. It's not indicative of an alliance, if I can re-emphasize that, but it's we have the same committee.
Well, we'll see what we can do on Tuesday, go as far as we can, and then we'll have a clearer idea. We'll see if we can get more time on Tuesday. What's the order of the day on Tuesday? Honourable Sultan.
Well, the problem with the Wednesday is the dance is that Honourable Walters and myself will be winging our way to London. So you'll definitely be without us. I don't think I will entrust the FF with my concerns.
Okay, those who are off to London, enjoy it. We'll remain and do the work here.
Yeah. Work has been removed and do the work.
Thank you very much, good folks.